This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Indeed, you are on Joy 94.9 Saturday Magazine. I'm Macca. My guest co-host, or my co-host and panel operator this morning is Paul.
I like you call me a guest. That's
Paul.
Nice.
Well, you know.
Second co-host.
Who we got next, Paul?
We're going to be talking to the Greens MP. Animal Justice MP, Georgie Purcell. Good morning, Georgie. Sorry about that. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
How are you, Georgie? It's Macca. I wanted to, a couple of other things, you know, talk about what's happening in the Parliament shortly. But we've got the duck murder season on. I'm not going to call it hunting because it's not hunting. The state government again has taken the side of people that want to shoot birds down from the sky and call it sport. Mm. Are they afraid of the electoral consequences of not supporting duck shooting? Why do they do it?
Yeah, thanks. It's a good question, Macca, and it's been a while since I've spoken to you. I think last time I spoke to you, we just had the inquiry report handed down from the government's own inquiry that recommended a ban on duck shooting that was chaired by a government MP, and they actually chose to turn around and ignore that, which was a real slap in the face to the thousands of Victorians who participated in the process. In fact, we got more submissions than any other parliamentary inquiry in Victorian history. I don't think that they're afraid of the electoral consequences. I think this is a situation of the Premier making a very early captain's call in her new role. We always knew that she was a supporter of duck shooting, and it's incredibly disappointing because we know just how many Labor MPs were on our side and wanted duck shooting to end as well.
So can I ask, and you know, clearly the Premier is the best one to ask this, but why do you think the Premier supports duck shooting? Why?
We know that the Premier has been a long supporter of duck shooting. Obviously, she's in the electorate of electorate in Bendigo, where there is one of the higher concentrations of duck shooters, but there's still a very, very minimal amount. There's a couple of hundred. And we actually ran statistics with Wildlife Victoria and Animals Australia and RSPCA to show there was many more in the electorate that actually support a ban on duck shooting and wanted her to do that. It's an incredibly disappointing outcome because we went into that process with a different Premier and a different Minister responsible for the decision, and it all changed by the time the decision was made. And I think if that didn't happen, we'd be facing a very different set of circumstances, and I wouldn't be forced to go out on the wetlands next weekend and rescue birds once again.
I mean, I just, you know, the government, you know, we look at greyhound racing, we look at horse racing, we look at duck shooting and all other animal welfare issues, and I'm at a loss to understand why the government, and I understand, you know, individual MPs will have views and an MP has to reflect or understand the views of their electorate. But first off, let's not call it, you know, a sport. It's not a sport, right? It's about shooting, massacring defenceless animals, and someone will say, oh, you know, this provides food for my family. With all respect, don't shit me. That's not what it's about, right? It's about shooting a defenceless animal in the name of sport to make yourself feel more important. That's what it's about. It really disappoints me that the government, you know, in this area, really, I just don't get it and I don't understand it. Yet, you know, they seem committed to it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I think, you know, Victoria loves to call itself the progressive state, and I'm really, really proud as a parliamentarian on some of the stuff that we have done. But when it comes to animal welfare, we are lagging seriously behind. We're one of the only states that continues duck shooting. We're dragging our heels on greyhound racing and cleaning that up. And, of course, we're the only state in the entire country that continues jumps racing of horses, and we know just how deadly that is. Many states ended it decades ago. The Labor government in South Australia banned it last year, leaving us to go it alone. And yet the government is insistent on supporting all of these cruel and outdated, you know, so-called sports for animals. And it's an absolute disgrace. We should be doing better. In fact, we should be leading the way.
You know, so South Australia has banned, you know, jumps racing. South Australia has had an inquiry.
It's greyhounds.
Undertaken by ex-police commissioner Graham Ashton, who we had on air recently. It seems that animal welfare does not matter one little bit to this government. Because if it did, it wouldn't allow duck shooting. It would properly regulate greyhound racing and horse racing and stop jumps racing. If they cared about animal welfare, it should be, you know, they should actually start doing something about it. And until they do, I think they've got blood on their hands, the blood of innocent animals that are killed for sport and that die for sport. They do.
Yeah.
And whilst they're dragging their heels, they're dragging their heels listening to the people who are dragging their knuckles on the ground.
Georgie.
They want the bogan. I don't know. It's not necessarily bogan. Anyway, what else is happening in the parliament, Georgie? It's not all about this issue. There's a whole lot of other issues, isn't there?
Yeah, look, so the parliament's on a break at the moment over April, and we're coming back in May for the budget, which will be really, really interesting. But the upper house is actually going to Echuca in 2 weeks' time to conduct a regional sitting and go and support a country area out there. But honestly, interestingly, in this parliament, I spent 4 years in the last parliament as a staffer, yeah. And the legislative agenda was much more heavy then. We're all really eagerly waiting for the government to pick up the pace and bring some more bills before us. But we've got the ongoing issue of they haven't been able to secure the numbers to put the state electricity commission in the constitution. That's going to be a really interesting one, because it requires 60% of the upper house to vote, okay. Not just an ordinary vote. So that's what we're all watching pretty closely. And we've had a number of really, really tight bills. We defeated the government on having a public housing inquiry where the opposition and the crossbench voted together. So it's a really interesting time watching, the government struggle a little bit more compared to last term in order to win votes and get things across the line.
Georgie, do you think that's the reason they're not bringing forward legislation to vote on is because they are going to lose some of these key votes? Is that a reason they're holding back, or do you just think they're a little bit disorganised because they've had a change of leadership?
Look, I'm going to speak very... I've obviously taken a new approach in recent times after the government's decision on duck shooting and the betrayal I felt there. I'm really concerned that there's no very clear social agenda and social policy reform. In the last term of parliament, it felt like every single sitting week we were doing something really, really great that would improve the lives of Victorians. We did birth certificate reform. We decriminalised sex work. We banned, so-called conversion therapies. We haven't really had that big reform piece come through yet. I'm working really closely with legalised cannabis and the Greens on getting a pill testing trial up in Victoria. And we're hoping the government will come to the table on that. But we haven't seen those, big transformative reform pieces come through yet. And I really hope that we do soon.
And I think, the challenge is, Georgie, as we know, that the government, has an agenda and they have a legislative agenda. However, if they don't have the numbers in the upper house to pass it, then, yes, the reality is the legislation won't happen and they would see that as a setback. But surely it's also a setback if legislation that should be discussed in the parliament isn't even presented on the basis that they don't, their calculation says there aren't enough votes to pass it. So it's a case of both decisions bring bad outcomes, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. But what's interesting about this parliament is the crossbench is actually more progressive than ever before. We've got 4 Greens, 2 legalised cannabis and myself.
Yeah.
That's 7 and they need 6 to pass legislation. we're really hopeful that they'll actually start doing some of the things we have been asking them to do, such as, you know, reforming our anti-vilification legislation, pill testing, at least considering legalizing cannabis. You know, we're all there ready to support them if they're willing to, you know, take the step or, you know, take a leap of faith. But it seems like there's this hesitation to really do anything beyond building at the moment. I guess we'll just wait and see what happens over there. We've got 2.5 years to go, and obviously we've had a change of premier, but we're really hoping that they'll pick up the pace on the social reform.
Yeah, and we've also seen in the federal parliament, you know, religious freedom legislation is parked.
Stalled.
Mm-hmm. You know, the government had drafted a bill. The Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, had drafted a bill, and which we're not allowed to see. And in the absence,
or even the MPs judge by what Peter said.
We're speaking to Peter Khalil, and I know you know Peter. Peter hasn't seen it, and you know, the Prime Minister said, unless there's bipartisan support for this, we're not going to present it. Well, is the same thing happening here? But they're not presenting the legislation, so, or even. Are they having discussions with you about some of these issues that are important to you, Georgie, and to my community?
Yeah, absolutely. What we tend to find happens is we don't have situations like that where if there's not bipartisan support, the government won't bring it because they know they've got the numbers well and truly in the lower house and they only need to rely on the crossbench in the upper house. We're absolutely having those conversations. I think it's a hesitancy from the government to do things that are seen, I guess, as progressive. And we've watched, when it comes to issues such as pill testing, which has been a really big one at the moment, we saw a summer full of overdoses and unfortunately someone die. And then we're watching states like Queensland have really successful pill testing trials after they introduced theirs, and the ACT's runs really well. So that's sort of our focus at the moment. And the government is certainly talking to us about it, but it's convincing them to actually do it. But what we do find is the conversations are largely with the crossbench, which is a really, really good thing, because I absolutely disagree on, you know, bringing good, positive reform that will protect the lives of Victorians, of all Australians, particularly young Australians, requires bipartisan support. If they have the numbers to pass it, they should absolutely go ahead and do it.
Georgie, it's Paul again. I just listen to you speaking then, you used the word progressive quite a few times. And, you know, something like pill testing, I think, you know, if you were to talk to a lot of younger Victorians, they wouldn't understand that would be deemed by some politicians to be a progressive policy. Like, it's just about saving lives. It's a health issue that they're just trying to mitigate. And the fact that, you know, people consider that to be a progressive policy would be a surprise to some young voters who just think that that's not. So I think there's a real disconnect here in terms of the perception perhaps of some of these policies versus the reality of the electorate.
Yeah, and it's a really, really good point that you say, because first of all, we're going to see more young voters than ever before at the next election. We're going to have more millennials and Gen Z voting than any other generation. And I think that's going to be really, really telling, and it's going to be an interesting exercise. But I call it progressive policy, but what we find with issues like pill testing, we should probably actually call it evidence-based policy, because we receive an overwhelming amount of support from people you probably traditionally wouldn't expect, such as, you know, parents who have never really considered drug law reform, who now have, you know, young kids and teenagers who want their children protected as they grow up. So, and they might not necessarily consider themselves part of a progressive voting cohort. So it is a great point. I'd actually probably call it, you know, health and evidence-based more
great
than
idea.
Anything else.
And, you know, perhaps if, you know, the views of paramedics, ask paramedics what they think. Don't ask Ambulance Victoria, because they will follow the government's dictate on this.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is there is evidence, and the opposite of progressive policy is regressive policy.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm sure the Victorian government doesn't want to be known as a government that has regressive policies. I'd ask them to, you know, consider, think about animal welfare, but think about the welfare of other people in the community.
Yeah.
And, you know, as ex-police commissioner Ken Lay said about a supervised injecting facility on this station many years ago, he said, "I haven't seen any convincing argument as to why we shouldn't try it. I would say the same with pill testing. Let's give it a try and let's see what the evidence presents and then make a decision about whether you go further with it, rather than just making a decision, oh, no, it's good, not a good idea. No, no, we don't agree. We don't agree."
Georgie, we've got one more question that's just popped up on my screen. We are running out of time, but just someone's asked the question here. What's your view on the decline of music festivals? Yes. We've seen a lot of concerts have been cancelled this year. What's your view?
Yeah, I was actually just having this conversation with a constituent at the gym this morning who was meant to be attending one of the cancelled music festivals. I think it's really, really incredibly disappointing and a concerning trend that it's a responsibility of, I think, us as politicians. We're not great at supporting the arts and supporting musicians and supporting, you know, live music. And I think that the government needs to do a lot more to ensure that these music festivals are able to continue to run. There's a number of reasons, of course, why they get cancelled. But, you know, post-COVID, we've seen this, I guess, this downturn in attendance and a lot of cancelled events. And I think we need to all turn our minds to what we can do to support it. I'm actually chair of the Economy and Infrastructure Committee in the Victorian Parliament, and we do have an inquiry coming up into creative industries, which I think will certainly look at issues like this.
So a little hint, Georgie, in the UK, I've read recently that they're turning to mini festivals that are regionally based and local, that highlight local artists, local province providers. Mm. So they make them much smaller and more localised, which means you don't have to have lots of people attending. So something to consider.
Yeah, and of course, particularly for me as a regional MP, so many of these festivals are out in the country and they give us a huge economic boost, and we need to do all we can to, you know, support them, because we've seen what's happened with small businesses in the country just this week in the news as well. So hopefully we can, you know, all work together to turn it around.
Unfortunately, Georgie, we're out of time. Thanks for your time on a sad day. I know it's, you know, it's a busy day for you, and hopefully you get some time to recharge. But thank you for your support of animal welfare. Animals don't vote, but their owners do. And I just hope you know, people consider, if they like ducks, think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have a great weekend,
thank
Georgie.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's always great.
Bye-bye. Pleasure. You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. Macca and Paul, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.